You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of the Mission Matters Business Podcast, your source for all things business. My name is Adam Torres. You can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres to keep up with my book releases, book tour schedule, signings, all that other good stuff. Always love to connect with you there. And as always, if you'd like to apply to become a co-author of one of my upcoming books, just head on over to the website, missionmatters.com, and click on Become an Author to Apply. All right, today I have Katina Sawyer on the line, and she's co-founder over at Worker Being. Katina, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, so excited to get today's topic. So we're going to talk about diversity and inclusion and the importance of that in the workplace. But before we get into that, let's go a little bit further into what you're doing over at Worker Being. Tell us a little bit more about the company, please.
Absolutely. So myself and my co-founder, Dr. Patricia Grabarek, she and I both did our PhDs together at Penn State in Industrial Organizational Psychology, and we shared a similar passion for wellness at work and creating work environments where people can live their happiest and healthiest lives. And after we left graduate school, I became an academic. I'm a professor at George Washington University in the School of Business, and Patricia became a consultant. She is a consultant at Infor, and we both kind of got together at some point and decided that in both of our spheres, we were seeing less of a focus on wellness, and particularly a science-based focus on wellness, than we would have liked. And we thought that part of that was due to the idea that the scientific literature is really, really hard to access. A lot of the articles that I'm paid to produce and publish as part of my job sit behind a firewall where the average employee can't get to them unless they're a student and they have access to the library. And the articles cost, you know, $35, $40 a piece. It's just not really attainable for most people if you're interested in finding something out about wellness practices. And I was finding students didn't really know how to care for their wellness, and Patricia was finding clients didn't really know how to care for their wellness. And we thought that we might be able to solve that problem by creating a platform where we provide free, accessible information that helps people to create wellness in their work lives that's science-based and actually has like good, valid evidence behind it.
Man, I love this. I think it's a great idea, and I think that it's definitely needed out there. And it's in my interview with Patricia, I remember we were talking, and she says, you know, it's good to have a yoga program. It's good to have these things, but these are benefits. This isn't like necessary. Like, there's more to it. And so I think
The
more to it is where you both fall in line perfectly and are able to really help businesses go to that next level with their thought process on what that can mean. So I think it's great.
Exactly.
So I want to get into this a little bit further into today's topic. So diversity and inclusion in the workplace, I know that's your specialty. I mean, where do you want to start with this one? It's a big topic.
Absolutely. So I know that what we do at Worker Being is multifaceted, but one of the major facets that we see driving wellness at work is whether or not people feel included. And inclusion means that people feel that they're not at the margins of an organization, but rather that there is no center or margins, but everybody is able to bring their unique talents and skills to the table and actually contribute in a meaningful way. And unfortunately, we know from the research on this topic that people are much more likely to include individuals who they feel more comfortable with. And what dictates our comfort psychologically is whether or not we see people as being similar to us. We feel much more comfortable with people that we view as being like us. We like people who seem to be similar to us because we think we're pretty great. And so we think that person probably would be pretty great too if they're like us. And the problem with that is that we end up alienating a lot of people that would be really great to get to know. We might have way more in common with them than we think. And their perspectives would be really unique and interesting to bring to the table. But we miss out on that opportunity because we never really take as much of a chance to get to know those individuals right off the bat. And that can mean that we get closer to some individuals over time, less close to other individuals over time. There can be in-groups and out-groups that form. So there are all these dynamics that happen in the workplace that prevent people from feeling included. And the goal is to overcome those dynamics by being aware of them and also by helping to understand where your blind spots are so that you can actively address those blind spots and create a team where people actually feel a part of things.
Oh man, I think that's awesome. And where do you find that, and I know this isn't going to be the same for all business owners or companies, but where do you find, I don't feel like people intentionally, you know, they're like, okay, I'm going to create this business and we're not going to be inclusive. Like, we're not going to do these things. Where do you find that they kind of miss the mark on this many times? I don't think anybody's doing it intentionally, but we do know if you just look at the data that it's happening, right?
Yeah, and I think you're right about that. While over-discrimination and negative attitudes do exist, what's much more common are subtle and covert biases that people themselves aren't even aware that they have. And that's what I see, as you mentioned, to be much more of the problem in organizations, although other problems still exist. And I think that what's keeping people from actually overcoming these is that it's hard to confront our own biases. It's hard to admit that we might have ways of operating that aren't fair. We like to think of ourselves as fair people. We like to think of ourselves as treating everybody well, treating everybody equally. And to take the time to really look yourself in the mirror and say, well, what's the truth about how people feel on my team? And am I actually giving everybody an equal consideration based on the talents and skills that they bring to the table? And those conversations can be really difficult to have, but they're really important because as a leader, your inclusion makes people on your team want to work harder, they work smarter, and they're happier and they're healthier as a result. So there's a big payoff to thinking this way, but I think the big barrier is that it can be harmful, it can hurt to think about times when we might not have included others, because you're right, most people get up in the morning and think they're doing a good job, and to learn that maybe they're not can be painful.
So I don't want to oversimplify this, and I know there's only so much you can do in a 10 to 15 minute podcast show, but I do want to try to equip some of the listeners here with maybe a tool or with a way to start reframing their thinking around this entire subject, like wherever you think it makes sense. But what can people do that are listening right now to start kind of going down that path? Because I think some want to make changes, but that whole just getting started part hangs a lot of people up.
Yeah, I think that's right. So one thing that I think anybody can do is take a look at the people that you consider closest to you, whether that's in life or in work, and think about the demographics of those groups. So how racially diverse are those groups? How gender diverse are those groups? Religiously, sexual orientation, ability-wise? What kind of people do you have in your inner circle that you really have had deep and meaningful conversations about their life experiences? How diverse is that group? And if the answer is it's very diverse, there are lots of people in that group that aren't like me, and I've had lots of meaningful conversations about how their identities might be different from mine, that's awesome. Then you probably have fewer blind spots than most people do. Most people have groups that are more homogenous than not. So if your group is quite homogenous, you might say, okay, well, what's missing? What perspectives might I know a lot about, and what perspectives might I not know as much about? And how does the fact that I know a lot about certain perspectives and not as much about other perspectives affect the way that I approach the world, issues that surround us in society? So getting clear on where your blind spots are likely to be based on who you have in your circles and the experiences that you've had in your life can help you to figure out where to hone your own education in these areas. And I would say the next step then is once you've honed your blind spots, there are so many resources online to learn from individuals that are part of these populations or people who have studied or been immersed in populations that are not like theirs, who serve as allies, who have created content on YouTube. There's tons of articles. There's tons of things that you can do to start educating or getting yourself more familiar with those perspectives. And of course, if there's somebody that you know that you feel comfortable with, that you would like to engage in these conversations with without putting them on the spot, if it seems that they would be willing to engage and you might be able to ask some respectful questions about their perspectives or thoughts, that's always an option as well. So I think that the key thing is really to identify what you bring to the table from a blind spot perspective and then say, what can I do to start educating myself? And being open to the idea that learning will really catapult you to a better place instead of feeling defensive about, instead of thinking about it as a deficit and you're going to get defensive and ignore the deficit, think of it as a really good opportunity to learn and grow as a person that will help you to grow relationships, not just at work, but in your life as well.
That's awesome. So Katina, that being said, if somebody's listening to this and they want to learn more about Worker Being, what's the best way for them to connect with you and the brand?
Sure. So you can find our website at www.workerbeing.com, WORKRBEING, like a little B. And you can also find us on any social media platform at WorkerBeing. So I think those would be the best ways for us to connect with you. And if you want to reach out and email directly, you can get us at contact@workerbeing.com.
Fantastic. Well, Katina, really appreciate you coming on the show today and sharing more about your background and also all the great things you're doing over at WorkerBeing, specifically in diversity and inclusion. I mean, lots of great tips and information you provided today, so really appreciate that. And to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value out of this. If you did, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, leave a review on the Apple iTunes Store, and if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, Mission Matters Business, definitely give us a subscribe there, but also leave us some comments in the video. Love to know what kind of projects and things that you're working on. And Katina, thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. I had a blast.